In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Gospel this morning for the fourth Sunday of Advent comes from the very first verses of the third chapter of St. Luke's Gospel. He lists a cast of characters: Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, the procurator, Herod the Tetrarch, and his brother Philip, Annas and Caiaphas the high priests, and John the Baptist, this powerful, enigmatic precursor who has come to be the voice of the prophet proclaiming the truth that is now in their midst. St. Luke provides this information for us not only as a practical order in order to historically situate and reaffirm the historicity of what it is that we celebrate. Christ came in time and space and history and transformed it. What we celebrate is not a tale or a myth told to make us feel better about what it is that we believe, but rather it is for us an ongoing contemplation of that time when the Lord broke into history, dispelled darkness once and for all, and set us on this trajectory that is new life itself. But he likewise presents this to us because these same men, these rulers of the earth, these rulers of faith, are ill-equipped to accept the very reality for which they have anticipated. Particularly Annas and Caiaphas, the high priesthood, which we know as the Lord grows to be a man, he will find himself in constant conflict with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the theologians, lawyers, and doctors, and all because of a hardness of their heart and an unwillingness to accept the truth. Of course, the secular leaders simply are ill-equipped to understand what it is that is happening in their midst. And St. Luke presents them to us so that we have set before us a very practical choice. We can be like them and give in to the hardness of our hearts that leads to darkness in our lives. Or we can be like John the Baptist, who from his infancy in the womb of his mother Elizabeth leapt for joy in the presence of our Lord. There has never been a moment in his life that was not dedicated to the one thing for which he was created, and that was to prepare the way for the coming of our Savior. Everything about St. John the Baptist was given over to that and that alone. What he ate, how he dressed, the manner in which he spoke were all secondary to shining the light on Christ who has come into the world. In a very real way, like our Blessed Mother, he perfectly manifests the virtue of humility, recognizing his weakness in comparison to the strength of our Lord, recognizing the limitations of his baptism compared to the baptism that the Lord provides for us. And so we know that much like the one he has come to witness to, he will offer his life in faith and in truth. And he does that precisely because only one thing is required of him as it is required of us. And that is to witness to truth, to witness to Christ. And as we have prepared ourselves hopefully well during this Advent season, this choice that is set before us is an easy one to make. We must be like John the Baptist. Our baptismal dignity requires it of us. And of course, those who are able to do so, who present themselves for Holy Communion at the rail, commit themselves concretely then to taking up the mantle of our Savior, which is his cross, and going into the world and proclaiming this truth. This is only and always how darkness is dispelled. It is the light of Christ come into the world. And we who follow after him, we are who configured to him in baptism, who by our own sacrifices and sufferings are more and more transformed into him, commit ourselves to do the exact same thing. There's no concern about what we wear, what we eat, where we live. There is no concern about what men might think of us, what their opinions are about what it is that we have to say. In humility, one task is given to us, and that is the preaching and the proclamation of the Word made flesh. And it will cost us something, as it always has costed us something. John the Baptist offered his life. And of course, the Lord himself will give this ultimate gift by dying for us in order that we might be set free from sin. And so we can never exempt ourselves from the suffering and the sacrifices that attend to the truth. But as John the Baptist understood, this sacrifice that he makes pales in comparison to the glories of new life, pales in comparison to the honor of being able to proclaim the truth. There is something extremely contemplative about the whole Advent season, but especially these final days before the celebration of Christmas. Both in the holy sacrifice of the Mass and in the chanting and praying of the Divine Office, there is both an urgency and at the same time a wonderful peace that overshadows everything that is celebrated and done. There is a darkness that is appropriate, covering what will eventually be this powerful light that is Christ himself. And I encourage and exhort you in these remaining days, do not allow yourself to become overwhelmed by all the preparations, because the preparations come and go. But the reality for which we are preparing ourselves remains constant. Decorations are put up. Food is prepared and eaten, then it goes away. Presents are exchanged and then they are forgotten. But Christ cannot be any of those things. It must only and always be the one who is at the very center of our existences. And what is required of us in order to remain steadfast in relationship with him is precisely that same degree of intensity, of hopeful anticipation, but most importantly, that profound peace and calm that comes in right relationship with him. The age in which we live is an age of agitation and disgruntledness. Everyone is displeased about something or someone. And most especially, sadly, we oftentimes are most displeased by ourselves. And instead of taking the steps needed, which is always going back to our Lord to correct this, to eradicate that dissatisfaction and disgruntledness, we continue to complain and rail against the world itself. You can continue to do that with little to no success, or you can embrace Christ and his truth. You can hold him in yourself, especially through the most holy Eucharist. And then in that intimate relationship that he desires to forge with you, you can find an everlasting peace, most especially in the midst of difficulty. So take these days and be calm and be at peace and be in prayer and be earnest and deliberate about that calm and that peace and that prayer, because all the things that you think are important, they simply are not important. And all those things that you think have to get done so that everything will be perfect, they do not have to be done, and everything will work as God intends. If you choose to rest in his presence and to stay at his feet and to enjoy his peace and calm, then you have chosen the best, not better, the best portion. And then when the time comes, and it does come for all of us, that you are required, like John the Baptist, to preach a baptism for the repentance of sin, to be yourself in a constant posture of conversion and transformation, to put yourself out into the deep, into the world, knowing that you might literally sacrifice your very self. When those moments come, there will be no fear or doubt or anxiety or trepidation. There will simply be the celebration that you've been found worthy to suffer in the name of the Lord. that you have yet another opportunity to testify to the power of the truth of Christ who has come into the world. And indeed, that peace that brought you to that moment will likewise keep you safe and throughout. God never abandons. God only and always speaks truth to us. And for that we rejoice and give thanks. And so we have prepared, and there's time still to prepare even more if need be. Of course, remitting sins for ourselves by going to the sacrament, and then spending time in prayer, so that then we can, like the angels and the saints, testify to the glory of Christ, our King who is to come, and now will soon be with us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.